Lord told David, he said, you seek my face and you'll live. And David said, you tell me to seek your face and your face I'll seek. I'll look. He does that too. Exodus chapter 9. We're looking at that sixth plague this morning. These boils inside to out. These boils started on the inside. They always was on the inside. And God put them on the outside for a little bit. These boils. That's like the sixth plague, just like that third plague, there's no warning. The Lord did not command Moses and Aaron to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go, or here's what I'm going to do. There was no warning. And I hope you'll get this as I did. It's a big warning that they didn't get a warning. You get that? For us, we get to read this. They didn't have a warning. We get a warning that there was no warning. I hope that sinks in. I hope that accomplishes what we're warned of this. God doesn't owe us anything. I was so thankful. Maurice Montgomery said that when I was 16 years old. And hit click, buddy. I think that's when I started paying attention to that message he was preaching. He said, I'm thankful for my parents. He said, not once did they raise me to think that God or the government or anybody on this earth owed me anything. Let's see what you think. Who cares what you think? Nobody cares what you think. Nobody wants to hear what you got to say. I'm thankful that I had that. I had parents that showed me that the Lord didn't owe me nothing. He doesn't owe us a warning. Well, give us 30 days notice. Give us a 2-week notice before we're delinquent or something. He doesn't owe us a warning. And then I thought of how gracious this is. He warns us by not warning them. He said, I've given nations for you. Egypt for you. Ethiopia, Seba. He's done this for us. I want to be warned that there's no warning. I want you to be warned that way too. What a warning to mankind. The Lord doesn't owe us a warning. Exodus 9, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in the land, all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians, upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Now, where did this take place? It's just a few short verses, and this has probably took a week. A month, I don't know. We don't know how long it took, but it was a while. And I thought, mankind says, well, these are good stories. No, it's not. This happened. That needs to be said. And you look at what little bit of time since we've established that physical nation, Israel, over in the Middle East. You know what happens every time some nation's about to invade them or something? Egypt's quiet, ain't they? They keep their nose out. You know why? They're probably superstitious or, you know, they don't believe God in it. But they said, no, we know there's some plagues came on this place. This happened before. It's just over-religious, superstitious is what the word means in Scripture. Over-religious, they don't mess with them. This is a true thing that took place. And where did it take place? It was in Egypt, but it was at the furnace. At the furnace. Look here in verse 8 again. The Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, take you handfuls of ashes of the furnace. Of the furnace. I grew up in a town that manufactures steel. And so the first thought, I did confined space rescue and boilers and stuff. My first thought of furnaces is a blast furnace where they make steel. That's not what this is talking about. Then I had a job in HVAC. So my second instinct of furnace is, well, that's a what you heat your home with in the wintertime. That's not what this is talking about. Pharaoh's going to go down to this furnace. I'm sure Pharaoh's king, those subjects honored him. He led them, and they kept him in a house good enough. It had some heat in it. He didn't have to go looking for it down the road. That's not what this is talking about. This is one of the places they worshipped. This is where sacrifices took place in this furnace. In this furnace. There Nebuchadnezzar had a furnace, didn't he? And he put those three children, Hebrew children, in it. And it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. That's why he put them in there. They didn't bow the knee to the image. Well, how do you make an image of gold? You got to heat it up. You got to make it hot. You got to have a furnace, don't you? To make a graven image. To make yourself a god. That's what they was doing. And he had an image of gold. And so he had a furnace to do that. And he said, whoever doesn't fall down and worship this one, they should be cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. If they don't worship this God we made of our own hands in a furnace, we'll make you the sacrifice. And we'll burn you. That's what was taking place in Egypt. Where'd they get that? That's where they got it from, wasn't it? Egyptians done it for a long time ago. God commanded Moses and Aaron to meet Pharaoh in the very spot where he went to worship. There's a god they had that they were. I told you they worshiped frogs was one of them. They had a bunch of them. They worshiped the river Nile. But they had one called Typhon. It was the god of volcanoes and of dangerous winds. That's where we get the name Typhoon. And he just had all these locusts. He had all the flies and the gnats and all those things, the lice. And he's probably down there praying to his god to get rid of this other god that keeps pestering them. He was right there. He's probably praying to his god to stop this other god. Well, there's not multiple gods, are there? The Lord says, I'm the only God. There's imaginations. There's figment of people's imaginations, stuff they concoct in their brains, or traditions of men, or what grandma and grandpa always told us. There's only one God. There's only one God. Who was there? Moses was there, and Aaron, and Pharaoh. Just in case Pharaoh wouldn't have believed one man, God sent him two witnesses. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, so things be established. He sent him two. And brothers. Sometimes brothers don't agree on stuff. They were in total agreement on this. This is what God said. We'll put all our differences behind. We're of one mind, of one accord. And they come to Pharaoh, didn't they? And what's going to happen? What did the Lord tell them that he was going to do? Verse 8 says, the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, take you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. How do you sprinkle stuff towards heaven? If I came to you and said, God said you got to sprinkle that towards heaven, best I know how to do, I'm going to throw it in the air, right? Toss it in the air. What are you tossing in the air? Things that are meaningless. And he said, you do it in the sight of Pharaoh. Throw it right in his face. Go over there to that holy furnace, and we will now gather together to read the holy word of Typhoon or whatever. We will now begin the worship. He said, you take a handful of it, throw it right in his face. Throw it up towards the heavens. That's what we think about that. That sets the scene to Pharaoh. Now, that ain't a good way to win sinners to Jesus, is it? It's the way God told Moses to do it, and I do it. He did. He said, you toss it in the air and do it in the sight of Pharaoh, throw it in his face, all these ashes of his false hope, all these ashes of his religion, all these ashes of tradition, all these ashes of iniquity. What's that? That's the good things we thought we was doing. Oh, we was doing good things for God. That's an abomination. Everything your hand touched or anybody you know touched, Pharaoh, is ashes that ought to be just cast in the wind. It's nothing. Nothing. That's what it's going to amount to. What else makes ashes? Wood, hay, and stubble. I wish there's a King Josiah raised up in this day. Go through and burn all the wood, hay, and stubble and all these hillsides and all this garbage of religion and get rid of it and go back to this book. Would to God he'd do that. He exposes it, doesn't it? That's what his prophet Elijah did. God sent his prophet down there and he said, you get all them people together. And he said, how long? He talked to all the people. How long shall ye halt between two opinions? How long between two heresies are you going to reside? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, you follow him. And the people answered him not a word. He said, man up, take sides, there's a war going on. They were quiet. What happened? Well, they didn't say anything, so he kept pushing. He didn't say, well, we'll let that seed germinate. And I hope Lord, yeah, he kept going. He said, you gather together all your stuff, and I'll gather together some stuff, some sacrifices, some bullocks, and you call upon your God, and I'll call upon my God. And whichever God rains down fire and accepts the sacrifice, That's the one we're going to worship. As my dad used to say, hide and watch it. You can't do that. Hide and watch me. I'm getting ready to. And it said when all their chanting was done, that didn't work. And they cried out, and that didn't work. And then they cut themselves to Baal. That didn't work. Elijah mocked them. He mocked them. He said, maybe you ought to holler a little louder. He ain't hearing you. Maybe he's in the bathroom. That's what the translation is. Maybe he's tied up. He's on the privy. Give him 20 minutes. Just made fun of them. He threw it right in their faces. Threw it right in their faces. One against 850. He had some courage. He had some boldness, didn't he? He had simple truth, and he had some courage with him. Lord gave him a spine. Isaiah said, woe unto the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. Those that seek a real, well, I want to talk to some people and of flesh, and I want to get some good counsel. That doesn't mean not doing that. In a multitude of counselors, there's some peace. I talked to a good friend of mine yesterday, and I said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. You're doing it, been doing it for 20 years. What do you think? And he said, that's a terrible idea. Don't do it. And I said, okay, I ain't going to do it. It was that simple. That's not what it's talking about. But it's talking about soul comfort. Soul comfort. Not just some information. Not just seeking somebody that knows what you're talking about. Or going to your parents that's lived through some things and asking them questions. And he said, take counsel not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. They may add sin to sin. They may add sin to sin. That's what they're doing. Moses is exposing this to Pharaoh. He said, you're born corrupted, you're an enemy with God, and all these acts that you're going through, you're playing church, and you're adding sin to sin. And you ain't helping nobody. Well, as people say, well, I know my son ain't or daughter ain't sitting underneath the gospel, but at least they're in a church. That's adding sin to sin, God says so. He said, they'll go across oceans and continents and everything else to make one proselyte, and what does he say? Make them a twofold child of hell. Because they think they're doing something good for God. They spun up their own righteousness. Go down there, Moses, and take that ash and blow it right in his face. That the warning of not having a warning is a good warning. This is gracious. Did you know that? Why didn't the Lord just strike Pharaoh dead right where he was? Pharaoh's going to cuss him. Say he's austere and mean. Why were they burning stuff? Why were they burning people or beasts or whatever? Why were they making sacrifices? You know, there's not a place you can go on this globe. Go to the deepest Amazon. Go to the jungles, wherever that Europeans have never come across or Middle Easterns have never come across or that no gospel's been there. What are they doing? They're burning sacrifices, ain't they? They're sacrificing something. Those Aztecs were years ago down south of us. Build pyramids, make human sacrifice. Why was they killing stuff? Because in man's heart, we know something's got to die for us to live. That's so. We know, we can't articulate it. There's an understanding. That's why there's people so terrified to die. They're going to meet a holy God that they're at war with. And they might have flirted and trifled with the gospel their whole life and been all around it. And they're scared to death to die because they're going to meet a holy God. And they know it. And that's why they get really weirded out. And things get real awkward when you talk about eternity. That's why those what we call heathens, we're the heathens, we're all heathens. We call heathens, those untamed people, they're doing the same thing that the Egyptians were doing. Same thing. I knew a person was in a better religion, reformed religion. And they said, well, we'll keep a Sabbath. And they talked to a friend of mine. They said, you know, I think I'm going to start doing a sacrifice. And they said, well, you're going to have to get you a lamb and get a big tarp because blood goes. You just think a gallon of blood will go all over. And it's real slick. So you want to get one rubberized hand and kind of start talking through butchering an animal. And they turned a little green. They changed their mind. They said, no, you want to keep it so you can feel it better. Blood's involved. Sacrifice is involved. Christ came and was a sacrifice for us. Offered himself a sacrifice. What do? Now we sacrifice the offering of our lips. What did we look at last night? Thank you. Thank you. You ever done something for somebody they don't thank you? Makes you kind of want to undo it right then, isn't it? Like, here's a glass of water. That's, give me that back. I'm just glad the Lord ain't like that. They're in Romans 10. Turn over if you want to Romans 10. The same thing that the Egyptians were doing, or any of those outside of Christ. It's all the same. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel is that they might be saved. Those very ones that outcast me. Those that said I've changed sides in a holy war. And I ain't allowed to be buried there anymore. I couldn't get married there if I was going to get married. I've lost all privileges and everything to do with any of them. I'm an outcast and they're trying to kill me. He said, I have a prayer for them that they might be saved. Praying for his enemies is what he's doing. For I bear them record. He's going to say something good about them. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They don't know what they're doing. You ever done something and later down the road you say, well, we did that, but I just didn't know any better. That's exactly what he's talking about. Well, that's the way we always did it. Well, that's how we did it till we learned better. Till somebody taught us. The Lord taught us. For they, here's what their downfall is. Same thing as Egypt. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they know they need one. Just like in the jungles, just like anywhere else. They know they're going to die. We have an end. And they need righteousness. They go about establishing their own righteousness, but have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? No, who? For Christ. He's talking about that righteousness. The righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The Lord came down, he was talking to those religious folks. You know, he never did tongue lash poor people and prostitutes and mafiosos and publicans and he never was harsh on them, was he? Those high-minded religious ones, he rebuked them sharply. And he said, I'm going to quote Hosea. He said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He said, go learn what that means. Well, now we know. The scriptures say, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Blood must be shed. Well, how is he going to have mercy and not sacrifice? He's talking about us. I'm going to show mercy on you. And I'm the sacrifice. I'm the sacrifice. Turn over to Hebrews 10. I want to go and learn what that means. That was that question in that oldest book, 4,000-year-old book of Job. How can God be just and justify man? How can a man be just before God? How can he be just and a justifier? I want to be reminded of that daily. I do. Hebrews 10:10. I quoted this last, I hope I don't make you turn there last hour. But if so, it's okay. I'm turning there too. It's good for us. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. In italics for all, that's just fine. I'll take that. Once for all, forever. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. The Lord gave all those things we'll look at as we go through Exodus and other books, Leviticus and stuff. He gave them those ceremonies and those types and what to do. And it's picturing Christ the sacrifice. It's picturing him. But they had to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it because it wasn't taking away sin. I bet there's plenty of ashes there. It wasn't from a one-time event at that furnace in Egypt. They had to keep doing it, and they had to keep doing it, and they keep doing it because it wasn't working. It wasn't working. They're declaring. That's what God set it up for, to declare, to be a token, to show Christ day in and day out and show him again and tell him again and tell him again and tell me the old story we sang. Tell me one more time. But those without him, without knowledge, without even knowing who God is and that Christ is righteousness, the Lord our righteousness, and that's who we need, they got to keep firing that furnace up every day because it just ain't getting the job done. And they got to keep getting baptized over and over again. They got to keep renewing their pledge card or whatever over and over and over again because it ain't working because it's all the same. I was here and I felt good for a little bit and then I went there. I was here and I felt good for a little bit and went there. Well, there ain't the problem. Here's the problem. And until God shows us that, we're still lost in our sins. Every priest, verse 11, standing daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, this sacrifice, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemy be made his footstool. He's just awaiting. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. How in the world can somebody read that and think they need to sanctify themselves? They don't have the Holy Ghost in them. The Holy Ghost witnessed that to you. I can't do it. Sanctification is not a process, it's a person. He's the Lord that sanctifies, Jehovah M. Kadesh. That's him. And he said he's going to do it. I didn't get to it last hour. My notes, when I copied and pasted something, right before I hit print, everything went, didn't make no sense whatsoever. It just, everything moved around. Something was weird. But go read the Ten Commandments. God said he shall show the potentate. Right? God said this is what's going to happen. It shall happen. Go read them Ten Commandments. You shall have no other God other than me. You're never going to kill. You're never going to steal. You're never going to fornicate. Have commit adultery. What we broke at. He said it's going to happen. What if the Lord said it shall rain tomorrow? What do you think is going to happen tomorrow? Now, he's speaking to his people. And he said, for my spiritual Israel, you ain't never going to do none of these things. How could that be? We're in him. We're in the Son. We're in the sacrifice. A sacrifice, it bled for us. We're covered in the blood. It died for us. We don't have a handful of ashes. We have an empty tomb and him. We can go touch his wounded side. We can hold his hand. He's going to serve us at that supper. We're going to sit down. He's going to come around and give us food and wine. He said, I ain't going to drink this wine. As people, as teetotalers, you're going to have a hard time in glory. The Lord will give you a glass of wine. You'll get over it. It's unthinkable, isn't it? What's going to come all this of Moses taking all that nonsense of, it ought to be mocked and blowing it right in their faces? What's the Lord going to do? Back in Exodus 9, verse 9. And it shall become small dust, and in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. It's going to be boils. It's going to be a festering sore. Festering sore. It's going to be rotting. There's another word that's attached to that when they combine them in the Hebrew. A rotting open wound is what it's going to be. This is referenced in several books. You can study that on your own. The children of Israel, they wanted to mix some type of religion of Egypt with the worship of God. Well, you spend 400 years underneath false religion, it's going to have an impact. That's just so. But 10 times they disobeyed God and they wanted to do this. And the Lord told them, he said, you ain't going to have an 11th time. That's so. But he told them in Deuteronomy 28, he said, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt. With the botch of Egypt. That's what this is, with the bulls. And with the emrods, E-M-E-R-O-D. You know what that is? Something we never met nobody, I hope not, covered in boils and putrefying sores and all that. Emrods is hemorrhoids. That's what the word means. And so I'm going to curse them with that too. And with the scab and with the itch, whereof they cannot be healed. Inside and out. The Lord told him, he said, you want to be like Egypt? I'll treat you like Egypt. You want to worship God that way? Okay, I'll meet you where you are. He said, I'll expose your sin. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? But all... You don't. I told you that before. You don't know what's inside of my head, inside of my heart. If you did, you wouldn't eat lunch with me no more. We ain't had lunch in a while. I hope that ain't why. But you wouldn't want to. Could you imagine? We see what comes to pass and fruition in our lives, what we act upon. Could you imagine if all the you? I thought about this for me, and you think of this for you. If all the sin in your heart and all the sin of your thoughts was manifest outwardly. Was on that. If everything that was already on the inside was on the outside, a scab that won't heal, an itch you can't scratch, an inflammation that will not allow you to rest, there ain't no ointment to soothe it. Could you imagine that? These boils and blains, you look up the root words, means open sores that are rotting. That's what the Lord said all of mankind born to Adam outside of Christ is. Did you know that? That's what we are. This is gracious of the Lord. He said, I'm showing you on the outside what you are on the inside. I'm a good little boy and girl. No, we ain't. And it's a grace of God he's showing them. He says in Isaiah 1:6, from the sole of your foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it. None. But wounds and bruises and, same thing but translated different, putrefying sores. That's what's on the inside. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. There ain't nothing you can do for it. No treatment for it. For those outside of Christ, that's eternity. That's eternity. To know and trust Christ now, to bow to him, to adore him. Like what old Scott Richardson said, it's there in the bulletin. Love that goes up's adoration. Love that goes out to the side to your brethren's admiration. And love that comes down's mercy. Because of his mercy, we love him. To know him now, to bow to him now, to adore him now is a blessing. To know that we're open sores and rotting, that's all we are on the inside. That's it. Without him, we're nothing. That's a blessing. That's for somebody to be a true sinner that mourns over sin because of who it's against, that's the Holy Spirit's made him so. That's a work of God. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, take you handfuls of ashes of the furnace and let Moses sprinkle it toward heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become a small dust in all the land of Egypt and shall be a bull breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. What happened after the Lord commanded this? I just turned the page. This was stuff from last hour. Come up in this. I know what he said. We're okay. What happened after the Lord commanded? So this is what I'm going to do. What happened? Verse 10. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up towards heaven and became boil, breaking forth with veins upon man and upon beast. God said it was going to happen. I know this is simple, but this makes me happy in the heart. I hope it makes you happy in the heart and comforts you throughout the week and throughout your lives all the way till you're with him. I hope it's comforts you. God said it, and it happened. I'll be here. Brother Eric Floyd will be here next Sunday. Well, now, we hope he is. He probably will be, but he might not. I'm going to New Jersey next weekend. I'm leaving out on Thursday morning. Well, I intend to. I might go, I might not. I know so. I'm not a fool. That's why we say, if the Lord will, we'll go into that city and do this or that. James told us that plainly. If the Lord said he's going to do something, watch out. It's going to happen. You go read those Ten Commandments. That's going to happen. It's done. It's eternal. That's happened. That's a simple thing, but oh, what a precious thing that is. There in verse 11, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. They went to go stand before Moses. They're going to go fight with Moses. They're going to say, Moses, let me tell you what we think. Let me show what we can do. We can reproduce this. We can do that. They couldn't even stand before him. They didn't even talk. Couldn't even go up there and just physically be there. They couldn't stand before him. Why? Because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magician, upon all of the Egyptians. Those false preachers, false teachers, false apostles, false bishops, false cardinals, they cannot stand to the word and the power of God because of their corruption. Corruption. They try to. They try to. But their very words condemn them. I've seen it happen day in and day out. Saw it happen yesterday to a friend of mine. Somebody's accusing him of something terrible, being an antichrist. And in the accusation, it's self-defeating. What'd you just say? Well, what you just said just negates everything that just come out of your mouth. You condemned yourself. So I told my buddy, I said, keep doing what you're doing. Keep preaching. You'll be all right. That's what happened to Judas. The Lord said, one of y'all is going to betray me. And 11 of them said, Lord, is it I? Lord, I don't know man's heart. God does, but I know what comes out of their mouth. And on a long enough timeline, what comes out of the mouth is going to reflect what's in the heart. They said, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it? It's got to be me. Lord, is it I? And it got to one of them, and he said, Master, is it I? And he said, Thou hast said. He goes, just came out of your mouth. You said it. You said it. That's what that man with the talent, Lord came, he gave us illustration that a man came down and give out these talents. He said, you hold on to these. And one of them didn't get any usury. It didn't increase. He just wrapped it up in a napkin and hid it. And they said, where's yours? He said, I know you're an austere man. I know you reap where you don't sow. You come down here you gave us this 10 pounds of gold. Can you imagine somebody come and give you a big old talent of gold and then you cuss them for it? It happens. I said, you're an austere man. You reap where you don't sow. It's in Luke 19. You read when you get home. He said, oh, really? I reap where I don't sow. What I did was bad. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, you wicked servant. Thou knewest I was an austere man. You said I'm austere. You said I'm a monster. Here we go. Take that thing and give it. Take that one of his and give it to that one with 10. You said I reap where I don't sow. Watch this. Big difference between cursing God and praising him, isn't it? They couldn't stand. Their own sin, their own corruption ended them. It put them to an end. It did. What about Goshen? They're watching this. Look at the Lord working. You think he's calling out? Like they got to, if there's a fence there by Goshen, 4-foot chain link fence or something. You reckon he's hauling over the side of it? Repent! Believe! Bow! Why are you yelling at me? Stop preaching at me! There'll come a day God will be silent. There'll come a day that door to the ark will be shut. Right now is the day of salvation. Not today. Now. Now is the time of salvation. We have our time. Time's in his hands. Our time's in his hands. We look at that. And all time's his. And he shall show the potentate. But now's time. Bow to him. You know, faith, if you're, Brother Todd said that. If you're relying on something, well, I did this. You have a false refuge. Period. Well, I know I believed. I know I professed. I know I've joined. I know I whatever. If it's something in the past, it's a false refuge. And if there's a good intention, well, I'm going to start doing this. And I'm going to something in the future. It's a false refuge. It's only right now. It's only right now. Believe on him now. If we haven't believed on him, God, make us believe on you now. Make us whole nation. I would that all of Israel be saved. Or Palestine, or whatever, pick one. Russia. I would all Russia be saved. You think Russia would be easy to deal with if God saved all of them? We'd go and rejoice with them, wouldn't we? Be wonderful. Verse 12, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not to them. Why didn't Pharaoh listen to the two witnesses, the two preachers God sent to him? They had a hard heart. It bounced right off. As the Lord had spoken to Moses. He said, I told you it's going to happen. Through every one of these plagues, Moses is learning what the Lord says is going to happen comes to pass. Didn't he know that? Yeah, he knew it. Do I know it? I do, you do. We need to be reminded every day, don't we? Just as the Lord said. We don't know how it's going to come to pass. We don't know what it's going to look like. When that cloud, me and Karen was looking the other day, the skies didn't have a cloud in. There's one little tiny one. So, ooh, look at that. It's an itty-bitty one. And she said, whenever the Lord rolls a scroll, the clouds back like a scroll, she said, I guess he's going to make it a cloudy day. I said, yeah, I don't know what that's going to look like, but it's going to happen. God said it was. I believe him. You believe him? We do, don't we? Amen. All right. Brother Martin.